All right.
Yes, episode 4.
Wow.
I mean, who asked this, but...
Nobody.
Right. So, Bria.
Yeah. I mean, okay, I just feel like it's important to shout out how far we've come. I mean, this is only our 4th episode, right, and we're already performing to a live audience. Shout out to our audience member. Give us a clap.
Amen. Dominique Jones.
Yes.
All right. I don't even know. Okay. So this is our first episode since spring break.
Yes. What did you do over spring break?
I went to Florida.
Oh my gosh. How was it?
A good time. Went to Universal for the first time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Was it everything your little childhood Nenea wanted it to be?
Honestly, it was so much going on.
Yeah.
And everything was just so thoughtful. Yes. In terms of how the simulation rides were
clean.
It was, there were people picking up trash. Like, I wanted, mm-hmm, to throw down my gum wrapper, and somebody's like, no, you won't.
No, so, no, they, you throw it on the floor, someone's there to catch it.
Yes, like, they're not playing, like, they're on it. I just never been, I'm from Boston. I'm a Six Flags girl, so I had never been.
Oh.
I know, right? Raggedy. So I've never been.
Have
to
you ever been to
anything
that
close
one,
to Universal?
It's supposed to be really good. Cedar Point, Cedar Lake, Cedar something. It's in Ohio.
No,
it's like
I haven't.
The biggest one in the country, apparently.
Theme park?
Uh huh. But like, what has the biggest roller coaster?
Oh, okay, no. I also don't really do roller coasters.
How are you in Universal and don't ride roller coasters?
I don't know.
Did you get on any?
I did. I got on that mummy ride.
That is my jam.
Nigga, when
do
I
you
tell
hear
you,
me?
When I tell you that, first of all, I couldn't see anything.
Did she tell you, did Tawana tell you that it was a roller coaster ride?
I think she did. Because she was on the phone with you and she's like, oh, she going to get on this roller coaster. Yeah.
Because when we went for Christmas 2 years ago, we didn't tell my mom it was a roller coaster ride.
Is she scared of roller coasters?
Yeah. And you know, it's like inside.
Yes.
So it looks like.
So it doesn't look. Yeah. So like I thought it was going to be a simulation ride. Like, yeah. I didn't think it was going to be a roller coaster.
No, we got on that thing.
Girl.
They pulled that thing down. I tell you, we took off. Oh my God.
Couldn't see a thing.
Girl, all I knew is I remember we went up and then the fire came and then it was over from there.
And you know what was also cool? So on all the simulation rides, like when it was supposed to be like water, mm-hmm, sprayed by like the character, mm-hmm, real water came out and,
yes,
then like fire, you felt real heat. And I was like, the game done changed.
And then I don't know how old that ride is.
Oh, it's old?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's new been there for a while.
It's all new to me. So I was sad because I couldn't get a turkey leg because, you know, I'm a Flintstone. I was also sad.
You Pebbles?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I was also sad that I couldn't get popcorn. Tawana wouldn't let me buy popcorn.
Why?
And I don't know. She told me to save my money. Not that I have any, girl.
That's because she lives in Florida and she's been there probably too many times.
Right. But the trip was just amazing. Like, everything was copacetic. I had a really good time. We spent all day at the park.
Yeah.
It was good. Uh-huh. I want to go back.
You should.
Yeah, and I took the Harry Potter train.
Oh,
did you get on that?
No, I didn't get
it. It's like, who? I'm like, who even?
I went to Harry Potter World, but I'm not a Harry Potter fan.
Really?
Yeah.
And I've never really been a Harry Potter stan either, so
yeah.
I'm just kind of like,
Stan's probably more appropriate.
But I get it. I get it.
It was intense.
I get it. Yeah,
but
so what about you? How was your spring break?
Oh, it was awesome. I just went home. My family just moved, so we haven't had beds in probably about a year and a half.
Not beds.
So we got beds, and I mean, that was pretty much the highlight. I just kind of slept in a bed at home for the first time in about a year and a half.
I'm ready to move right along.
Yeah. It was awesome. I mean, it's a big, like, king-size bed. Mm-hmm. Just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
anything is better than being in Hampton.
Yeah, because, you know,
anything.
I currently sleep on the hay that Jesus was laid on.
Not the hay. That's a nice bed. Not the hay.
Okay. So, I'm just...
Born in a manger.
Literally.
But anyways.
In the manger.
But anyways, more importantly, there are 56 days left of school.
If this was a TV show and not a podcast, I would get up and do a Holy Ghost circle around this room.
Because the way the countdown has been so real. I think we start every podcast episode with saying how many days we have.
And then, you remember in class today when... J-Dub was like,
How can I forget?
Y'all counting down. And we was like, sir, we've been counting down since September.
I said, you can come with us.
Okay.
If you so choose.
Right.
You can come on ride along. Because I think he's trying to leave.
Yeah.
And J-Dub is our professor, by the way. I think he's trying to leave, but he's trying to be low-key about it.
Okay. Let me just not publish anything like that.
Well, where are we going with this?
Don't worry about it.
No, but I really think, look, him and Fenella trying to go.
Yeah.
I don't blame it. I would be too. Hell, but
why would they stay?
I think that with whatever happened with Dr. Abushan propelled him, made him real excited. I don't know if you saw the light in his eyes when he was talking about it, but I think he's making his way out. Yeah. But
so just, you know, as a quick side note, what do you think about the future of Hampton? I don't see it being, unless there is like some sort
the future.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, like,
they have one.
Like, seriously, like, they're not sustainable.
Okay, here's my issue. You know, I'll say certain things, and then Hampton stands will rebuttal and say, "Well, Rosa Parks lived here," and I'm like, "So that's why you don't have Wi-Fi?" Like, I don't understand.
Yeah,
I think Hampton has a lot of amazing history. Don't get me wrong; I am all for HBCUs, but I think that there's a lot of work that still needs to be done. So I don't know, girl.
Okay, and I've been thinking about this. You know, the terrible mismanagement of funds that's going on at Hampton. I think it was probably sustainable, you know, through the 70s. Well, so I guess when he's been here about 35 years now.
I heard so, longer than that.
So, like, you know, late 70s, through the 80s, through the 90s, maybe even creeping, you know, to, early 2000s, maybe mid 2000s is, you know, compared to where we are here, because the technology
had... What technology?
That's what I'm saying, like, the technology that students use through college had not changed as drastically as it has now.
And the fact that Dr. Dewey had to buy his own projector, the fact that he said that he called IT 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And they still haven't come.
That's what I'm saying. But the thing that I'm trying to say is, like, it's time for Hampton to really redo and invest in the campus. Right. And they're not willing to release the funds. And now it's gotten to the point where the school is so behind in technology.
But can other people not see what we see? Is it because we went to different schools for undergrad?
I mean, it's just because it's like, you know, like when you have sex with somebody and it's just like, they're just the bee's knees and you can't see anything. Like, that's how it is going to Hampton. Like, you can't see all the glaring faults.
What a comparison, girl.
Just saying.
You outdid yourself with this one. What a comparison. I mean, let's move on. I'm not trying to get depressed, but.
Because I can talk about Hampton in all the
but
ways.
Don't get me wrong. There are things I really like you guys. You know, there are things I really like. But Hampton does need a lot of elbow grease. Need the whole can.
No, they just need to stop putting funds in people's pockets and put it onto the patchy grass.
Don't make too much sense, girl.
Okay.
You don't want to overwhelm them.
Anyways, what you got for, who are you standing for?
Okay, you're going to get mad. I'm standing for Frank Ocean again. Because Christopher Bruitt, you're going to know him. I don't care. Now, he released a new song. He released a new song called Chanel.
It came on my Pandora and I pressed skip.
Why? It was so good. And there's a whole abstract thing piece on it. And I don't get any of it. But I love him. I love the melody. And, like, one of the main lines in the song is, "I could see on both sides like Chanel." And a lot of people are saying that he's talking about bisexuality. I don't know.
I can see on
both sides like Chanel. Because, you know, Chanel's
Logo.
It's just so clever. But the song is good. He's an amazing songwriter.
So, there's this, one of my... Instagram friends, not my friends, my Instagram friends.
Okay, thank you for the distinction.
He's a guy, presumably a straight male. He was sitting on the ground, like with his legs splayed open, and the caption was, "I can see on both sides like Chanel."
So that's where he got it from, yeah.
Do you think maybe he just didn't know that it's like probably referring to like fluid sexuality?
I don't think he knows that. I think he thought it was clever.
That
and I think
cute.
He used it.
I can see. Cause
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I think he was in Bangkok, too, or something.
And what the truth is he's a new face of Chanel. That's actually the...
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the gag.
Really?
But, and I love Chanel. One of my favorite designers after Tom Ford.
Yeah. When I become an old little black lady who's, like, petite, I'm going to switch over to Chanel
petite.
Suits.
Not
yeah,
petite.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, so I'm standing for him again. I don't want to get into it because I think I did a lot last time.
You did more than enough.
So if you need to
probably
hear my
more
Frank
than
Ocean,
what was requested. Or required.
If you need to hear my Frank Ocean stand, go back to the last episode. So, yeah. The song's really good, though.
Really? I'm going to make sure I listen to it.
He never misses the target. Never misses the target.
I feel like I should, like, get into Frank Ocean a little bit more so I can, like, have some...
It's abstract. It's over your
head. Okay. Yeah. Well, let me sit back.
All right. So, who's winning while black?
Oh, I have a really good one this week.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't know if you heard, but Yara Shahidi, the actress from Blackish.
Oh, that looks just like her mama.
That looks just like her. She's beautiful, so black mom.
She literally looks just like her mama.
But just
right.
Light skin.
Right.
Michelle Obama wrote her college recommendation letters.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did. Absolutely. It was like all over Instagram the other day. And I'm like,
so she doesn't have to go to college anymore now.
Basically. Pretty much. They should just hand her a degree.
Okay? How do you get Michelle Obama to write your yep. college? I couldn't even get my boss at the Hoochie Burger to just say he knew me. So how do you get Michelle Obama to write a letter of recommendation? Nigga, what?
Listen, I wrote my college recommendation letter.
Okay? Hello?
I wrote them and then I just had to go
out. And the thing is, they said, I can't promise it's going to be good.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, what do you have to be? Well, clearly, I mean, she's just, like, one of the stars of Blackish. And yeah. I don't know if you follow her on Instagram, but she's very... like
woke.
She's very woke, yeah. Very interested in community activism. I think they said that she wanted to study like women's like in African American history in college. What? At Harvard. Like, I mean,
wait, did so has she gotten
she,
in
she hasn't or, decided okay. where she wants to go yet, but I mean, doesn't matter. Like,
I mean, look,
because she could just say, here's my letter, I'll here take that seat right there, you know. That's pretty much how it's going to go. I mean, she's just...
That sounds about right.
I really love her because she's so smart, so intelligent. Mm-hmm. Like, she's very witty. She's just, you know, like, very cool. Mm-hmm. She's black. She's oh, yeah. beautiful. She's, like, everything that you would kind of want your 17-year-old daughter to be
that
like.
That is just so dope.
You know? And I'm glad that this is the new cool thing. Right, you know right. what I'm saying? So
the Obamas have really left, like, a legacy. Exactly. They really left an imprint.
Yeah. Like, what's Lisa Bonet's daughter? Zoe?
Zoe Kravitz.
Yes, yeah. Like that.
Yeah.
That.
Like, yeah, I know what
Michelle,
you're
saying. Why did I call her Michelle? Malia, Sasha. Right. Just, you know what I'm saying? Like that.
Right, right, right.
Amanda. What's her last name? Amanda.
I don't know her last name, but,
something like that.
But she's an actor, right?
Mm-hmm. She was Rue in The Hunger Games.
Yes.
Amanda.
Yes.
Hey, audience member, do you know her last name?
Thanks, girl.
Perfect.
The audience.
I feel like she's kind of more like our producer. Mm-hmm. You know?
I can see that. She's like taking notes on how to
yeah.
have us.
No. No. Okay. We're reaching.
Okay. All right.
Who you got for Winning While Black?
Well, I actually, it's more of a like local, low key one. It's okay. My friend Estelle.
Hey, Estelle.
She has a blog that she's been working really hard on. Ooh. It's called Estelle Stelly. You can actually check out her blog at www.estellestelly.com.
Perfect.
And she dedicated it to our friend Trinea, mm-hmm. who passed away last year from GI cancer, and
that.
Her son. So Estelle is, she's from Boston. She works with the Boys and Girls Club, and she's a single mom. She's just done all these amazing things.
Oh, really?
And, like,
I didn't know that she had a kid.
Yeah, she has a kid.
Oh.
I think I told you that. Mm. Little Cyrus? Yeah, and she
you
just...
You did, but I don't think I knew it was her kid.
Oh, and everyone gets Estelle and Isella confused, too.
Probably.
Right. She put herself through college. It's all just mm-hmm. amazing. She's just always been on it and never made excuses.
Just take a moment right here, because I'm sure you're probably thinking, like, oh, my God, Estelle is such a beautiful name. Nenea doesn't have friends that don't have beautiful names. Like, that's a requirement to be her friend. Like,
that's low-key true. All my friends have really, really...
Estelle... Yusella, what's the one that I like with the A?
Oh, Aisa.
Aisa. Like, they're just beautiful.
Yeah,
all of them.
They are. They
can't
are.
Have an ugly name and be her friend. I don't know how I got over here.
Girl, you know what? Cut it out. So, yeah, she's been working on her blog, and she features a lot of local artists, and she features people who do poetry.
Stenberg.
Oh, yeah, Amanda Stenberg. I knew it started with an S.
Yes.
But she features a lot of people who are doing cool things mm-hmm. in the black community in Boston. She showcases them. And, you know, it's kind of hard to find that in Boston. Where mm-hmm. I would say we focus more so on academics as opposed to
sure.
art. So I kind of like the twist that she's doing, and they're black.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh, she's black?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so okay. I thought that was cool. So I gave her Winning While Black. She launched her blog this week, and it's the same week that Trinea passed.
What's
so.
the blog name again?
It's Estelle Stelly, and okay. you can find the blog at www.estellestelly.com.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, Estelle.
All right, now, this is your favorite part, the reach. We're going to talk about all of your cousins that reached this week. I'm gonna start diving right in, loving hip hop.
And I have a reach this week
too. Oh, you do?
Yeah. Okay. I know you're shocked. But okay. You go first.
Yeah, I'm diving right on in, loving hip hop. Let's get into the trash. Now, Tommy Lee, the scene opens up with her being walked into jail by Stevie J. She had to turn herself in because she threatened Jocelyn, who was very pregnant at the time. Mm. And Stevie J walks out without Tommy.
Lemon face.
So she comes back from jail like maybe a couple days later, and her mom is at home, and she's upset with her mom because her mom never answers the phone whenever she goes to jail. There's so many problematic things with the stuff she was saying.
What?
She said her mom never answers the phone. She ain't never there first. She called her mom fake. So her mom sits up in the couch.
She called her mom fake?
She sure did. So her mom sits up in the couch and goes, that she also knows the bail bonds person that was in the house. Oh, okay. She said she's known him for years.
Okay. She would have to because she's been in and out of jail.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the mom tells the bonds person, take her back. And that's when she loses it. She calls her mom all types of bitches and hoes.
Live to tell the story?
Look, ain't no way. But her mom was like ready to box, but you know, the producers and security stepped in.
Box her daughter?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they were ready to scrap.
Like,
I scrap De Leon.
Just the dysfunction that you're describing.
Oh, yeah. And then she said, oh, my mom will be back to her get-rich-quick schemes, and she'll call me again when she needs me. And I just...
What?
I don't know.
So what does she do for a living?
The mom?
No, the Tommy.
Tommy? Well, Tommy's like, besides loving hip-hop, from what I've seen on her social media, business. She sells shirts. She sells cotton t-shirts. Custom ink. I think they say Tommy shit on it. She's a model, according to her.
Okay.
And she does club appearances, but nothing outside the ordinary love and hip-hop staff member does.
Okay.
She doesn't do anything. Because remember, she was on the show last season of Love & Hip Hop Atlanta as being Scrap's girlfriend.
I do remember
that. Yeah, but that's how she was brought on. But now she has a reoccurring role because she's like crazy and a hothead. Yeah.
Okay. She wasn't a hothead last season though, was she?
She absolutely was.
Oh, okay. I mean, I only saw one episode, and that was like...
With her and KK?
Somebody's like memorial that was at the club.
Her and KK, yeah.
Okay.
Because remember,
KK's the scammer, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's the mom?
Yes.
Okay.
And both her and Tommy can't go see Scrap in jail because they're both felons.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I thought it was trash. It was amazing. All right. Now, moving on to Mama D.
I just can't.
Mama D is upset because she said Ernest is not holding it down. She is upset that he's a mama's boy. These people are well into their 50s. She goes to dinner.
A mama's boy at 50?
Look, but this is according to Mama D.
Okay, but also, doesn't Mama D, like, isn't her whole role, like, being a mama to her grown
children? Hello, and that is what Scrappy told her. Scrappy's like, you're mad because Ernest's mom is doing what you do.
Like,
and that's the first time I heard Lil Scrappy make sense. I was like, you know what? You put the glue on the track with that one because Mama D is hot and bothered because someone is doing what she does.
That she's, like, getting a taste of her own medicine.
Wait, it gets better, girl. Because Mama D does not part without gifts. So she invites them to lunch because what's Love & Hip Hop conflict resolution without going to lunch,
without
right?
a sit down?
Right.
We used to call them lemon squeeze in college.
Oh, lemon squeeze. But she gets angry. She exchanges words. And then she leaves Ernest a pamper, a onesie, and I think pacifier. But she leaves it on the table with the mother there. And I'm like, Mama D, if you couldn't get any more ridiculous.
Like, I just.
Yep.
Okay.
And then lastly, Kirk and Rashida. Some swan neck Instagram model showed up to the club and said.
But the thing is, swan neck is accurate as all
is she?
Hell. Yes.
How do you know?
I saw pictures. I looked it up. I Googled that one.
Whoa.
Because I'm like. This is not like, you know, Tommy Lee and Scrap.
Like
you know, this is not like Jocelyn and that little producer, whatever his name was.
Not little producer girl.
It's not like, these people are married with kids. Like, this is a family.
Okay, so you think he's really the father to that baby?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, I think he's the father.
Okay, so what did you see?
I didn't see any of it. This is all from the Shade Room.
Oh, that video.
It was like research light. Like L-I-T-E, you know, but yeah, I mean, I just was following along, you know, per the Shade Room. And then I saw like, there was something they said that, someone had submitted a video basically, or a picture of the girl, what's her name? Jasmine?
Jasmine, yeah. Jasmine.
In Rashida's store. And she was claiming that Kirk is the father and Rashida Ben knew about the baby and they was both signing checks.
But you know what? I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see this being like their storyline.
Yeah.
Could, but when Rashida started crying after messy ass Carly Red broke the news to her, I thought it looked genuine.
You think?
Yeah.
It looked genuine. I didn't see it, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. I definitely think he's the baby.
I think, but.
Baby daddy.
Kirk has the audacity to cheat on somebody though. Your dad, the gall.
It's always the toad looking people.
Look.
Okay.
And maybe.
It's always the toad looking people that just. I mean.
Rashida could do better. But
and
I
then
mean,
it's some cockroach looking people who be going for it.
Look.
Okay. Anyways.
Yeah, moving on.
I'm not here for breaking up the happy home. Go ahead.
Okay. So I don't know if this had to have been last week. Yeah. So Nicki Minaj finally responded to Remy Ma. And somebody put it in an amazing way. They said that Nicki Minaj got an extension, got help, and the cheat codes, and still failed.
And still failed.
Now, you know what? I've been rocking with Remy Ma since before she shot her friend. Remy Ma can rap.
Yes, she can.
Like, if she can't do anything else, she can rap.
Yep.
Nicki has never been a rapper in my eyes. I mean, Remy
she's been an entertainer.
Rap. Yeah. Remy, I mean, not Remy. Nicki kind of used to rap, mm-hmm. but like she is nowhere.
Let me tell you
on
how.
On the level.
I haven't checked for anything since Monster from Nicki. I'm going to.
Yeah, Nicki, but you know, Nicki is entertaining. Like someone put it a good way. They said she's entertaining to like the Disney.
She's a headline.
Kid Disney. Yeah.
She's a headline. Like,
yeah.
Like to me, I just feel like Nicki Minaj is clickbait.
Yes.
You know what
yes.
I'm saying?
And but Remy gets busy. Like
yeah.
Remy is here to rap.
Yeah.
And someone. I think it was, maybe it was Charlamagne. He pointed out that there was this whole Nas and Jay-Z comparison,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure.
And I don't even want to say that because Jay-Z can rap and
exactly.
Nas can rap and they both get busy, but they were comparing Takeover to Ether,
mm-hmm.
trying to parallel it between,
mm-hmm.
No Frauds and
Sheether.
And Sheether.
Uh-huh.
First and foremost, they brought up a good point. They said that Ether was a battle rap song where
yeah.
Takeover was like a album song,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Jay-Z responded late, but what Nas did on Ether was making fun of how Jay-Z looked
mm-hmm.
and like, you know, taking stupid clothes where Jay-Z on Takeover broke it down.
Yeah.
So they were actually saying Takeover was the better song. It's just
yeah.
Ether was like a battle rap song.
Mm-hmm. What people
so they
were looking for.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
what people were looking for. And I think that that's what people were looking for out of Nicki. But Nicki's not that type of rapper where Remy is.
Yes.
But not
100%.
Only, you know, Remy made fun of you, how she was before in the plastic surgery, but Remy broke it down.
Yeah.
Like, Remy did not, like,
so
leave
she,
anything out.
No, there was no questions. Like, you didn't,
yeah.
you didn't have to wonder about
you didn't wonder who she was talking
she
about.
She laid it down. She,
absolutely.
Let me tell you how she laid it down in the three-paragraph paper form.
Mm-hmm.
Introduction.
Nice.
We had 3 points in the middle.
Yes.
And a conclusion at the end.
She sure did for 7 minutes straight. And somebody else said that it's from No Frauds. It sounded like Nicki redid her verse.
Really?
Because the song didn't even flow. If you, and I was like, that kind of sounds right because I'm listening to No Frauds. She had maybe one or two good lines.
Let me tell you, somebody said that it was trash. I didn't even listen to it.
To No Frauds?
I know, it
was trash. Like, it wasn't. I don't like Nicki's music, though.
Right.
So I
yeah,
wasn't even
true.
Like, it's not even. But I listened to No Frauds specifically to hear her response.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounded like No Frauds was already a song that was going to come back and she just come out and she
yeah.
just redid her verse.
Yeah. I feel you.
Yeah. So,
well, I mean, we kind of knew that Remy was going to take it home.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we heard Sheether, we was like, there's no way in no universe on no planet could Nicki Minaj come back to that.
And,
come back from
and
that.
Most people who are level head knew that. Most people
yeah.
knew that like Nicki, this is not a fight she could win.
It's
like
not.
She lost
it's
and
not.
That's that.
I mean, but I think at the same time, we were kind of expecting like at least a valiant effort. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. But no, she couldn't do that.
But you know, of course, she has her barbs and
oh,
they just, you know, talking about nobody, nobody ever has come, no female rapper has come up unless they, you know, bit off Nicki, or, you know, just all that kind of stuff.
And like, Nicki, child, and a lot of the barbs are talking about album sales. Like, that's not what Remy is talking about. We're talking about rapping, and that's not what Nicki Minaj does.
Nicki Minaj is rich. We know
this. We didn't talk about album sales. We're talking about rapping. And we waited 2-3 weeks for her to respond.
Exactly.
And she still didn't.
And you still failed with the capital F.
Right. Yeah, so that's that. Okay, so the next thing that I saw that kind of annoyed me. No, that didn't annoy me. That angered me. I don't know if you saw the video of the Asian store owner.
I did.
That put
Ham.
Your cousin.
Yep, she was chokehold. She was my cousin.
For some damn eyelashes. Yeah. That I don't even know. I mean, there's a lot of speculation, like,
over whether or not she was stealing.
Right,
her.
Right.
Yeah. And, doesn't matter.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
So, he said he has apologized to the protesters. I don't know if he actually apologized to the girl. And I'm just like, nigga, all that for some eyelashes? Even if she did, like, was all that excessive force necessary? From what this happened in Charlotte, North Carolina. From everything that I read, I heard store owners are allowed to detain people who they suspect are stealing. They're not allowed to put them in a chokehold and kick them.
Yeah. I mean,
like, what was all that?
I feel like it's pretty
excessive.
Excessive.
Right.
Excessive. Yeah.
Right. So,
I mean, they're probably taking cues from, you know, a great deal of the
cops. Oh, so this is how you deal with them, so this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
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 But, yeah, so those are all the reaches for the week. What ones that stood out to me, at least?
So, I definitely have a reach that I would like to discuss with you. Mm-hmm. And you're gonna like it because it's gonna kind of go into our topic.
Okay.
Yeah, this is like our tornado episode. Oh, Lord. All mixed up. Okay, so I was scrolling and scrolling on Instagram earlier today, and I came across this post that was actually reposted from Baller Alert. Mm-hmm. And it was where this player, I don't know if you saw this football player who from the Washington Redskins, his name is Lyndon Trail. Mm-hmm. He asked his followers, why do black athletes marry white women? And some player who...
I feel like I know where this is going.
Yeah, it's actually terrible. Some player who... He plays for the Miami Dolphins. I don't know his name. It's probably Rick or Richard or something. His Instagram name is Maserati Rick. And I tried to look it up I was going to come for the statistics, you know, but I couldn't find his actual name. So let me read you his answer, okay? He said, the answer is simple, brother. Most of the sisters were raised in broken homes. They don't have proper guidance to know.
Most of the sisters...
Listen. Okay. To know how they should treat a man. So they mess up a lot in relationships. The biggest difference is a white woman knows her position and accepts her role as a woman and lets her man lead. Pause. Black women believes it's 50-50. Let me finish. It's 50-50. And you have to be uneducated to ever think such a thing.
Wait.
Black women are stubborn, close-minded, and always want to argue and be the boss. Men don't like that shit. Especially if you're successful, young black athletes are looking for a woman to submit, do they part, and they handle their business. First of all, he said, and they handle business. I don't even know what that means. Whatever. Men needs peace of mind, and you don't get that with black women. That's his response to why black athletes marry white women. When I tell you, I read that, and then I read it again, and then I had to go back and read it again because I could not believe the words that I would see. I was like, if you don't take your ignorant ass off somewhere.
I'm stuck on the black woman 150 minutes.
And you have to be uneducated to believe that's okay.
No.
I mean, like, the mayor. And this is a black man. This is a black man that's saying this about black women.
Okay, I have a question. If most black women were raised in broken homes, with that same train of logic, wouldn't that mean most black men were raised in broken homes, too?
I mean...
Is it just women that are being... Is it just specifically women?
Literally.
Not black men? Because they don't have brothers or cousins or anything.
And I'm thinking, like, okay, so what does your mom think about these comments? What is your sister, your cousins, you know, your good girlfriends or whatever that you have? Think about these comments. Like, you are bashing an entire, like, demographic.
Someone said, if you have something negative to say about black women, write it down, fold it on up, yes, give it to your mama.
And give it to your mom.
Give it right on to
Don't her. Give it to us. We don't want it.
And
much less, we don't care. Who are you? Who are you? It was just, I mean, can I just go back to the part where...
You don't have to. We can move right along.
Where he just closed-minded, always want to argue, stubborn, trying to be the boss.
What?
Like, I mean...
Nigga, what?
You don't want a woman or a wife.
No,
you want
a doorman. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You're not looking for a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. You look... Sometimes a boyfriend.
Like, you just described the dildo. But
I don't have any words. It's just like...
I just felt that...
Yeah, that was a lot.
That was a big reach.
That was a big reach.
And I mean, it's probably...
It's fine to... No. Like, I was going to say it's fine to have your preferences, because that's not a that's preference. Not a that's preference. Pure, like,
yeah.
Bigotry.
Yeah.
If that's the right
misogyny,
word to
use.
Yeah, like,
racism,
that's not even... Like, who are you?
Sexism. And not in the hoity-toity white woman kind of way. Like, that's actual... You know, those are actual isms. Anyways, I just thought he was reaching, and I feel like it's probably more to do...
Not black women want a reason and want fairness in the relationship and don't want to be treated
poorly.
It
couldn't be that. It probably is more to do with the fact that, like, he's not even anything enough to pull a black woman.
Okay.
I mean, that's probably 98% of the issue. Nobody wants your ass.
You can have your white girl shaped like a cardboard cutout. I'm good.
Go right ahead.
Just moving right on.
Okay. Right. So, I thought that was a good segue into...
Yeah, so Bria, how about you introduce the topic?
Our topic
this
today.
Is your week.
Yeah, okay. So, pretty much there was, like, an incident that occurred earlier this week.
An incident.
you know, that really kind of struck a chord with me,
mm-hmm.
I guess is it probably a good way to say it, to where, you know, the ills of the black woman, you know, like
kinda
the
sprung up,
yeah, the traditional right. African-American, you know, black woman,
uh-huh.
were laid out, like, on, you know, mm-hmm. in conversation, in point formation for mm-hmm. me, and I just, you know, I brought it to the name, we had a little bit of, you know, conversation about it, and I thought it would be good to bring it to the podcast. Because I just kind of had never experienced anything like that mm-hmm. before, to where, you know, and this was like a black man. He didn't know he was black.
But you had to, like, tell him.
Yeah, I
had
to kind of, like, tell him that he was, but he was 100% Ghanaian. Mm-hmm. Right? Ghanaian.
Was he born here?
He was born in North Nashville.
Okay, he's black.
He's black, yeah, but he just really wasn't aware.
That of his blackness.
Yeah, yeah. He's African, you know, let him tell it. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being proud of who you are or being proud of where your
but
parents
But I think
came
we
from.
Need to understand what ethnicity is and what race is.
And it's
so
lost among.
I think he, yeah.
Yeah, so, yes. So we're just going to kind of continue our conversation from that.
All right. So how about you kind of give a preface of what happened? You can leave out names.
Okay. Yeah.
And I guess highlight the things that were problematic that stood out to you.
I think she said leave out names because she knew I would drop them.
I know you would.
On the podcast.
Not that he'd ever listen.
Not,
but
No, because two black women talking about things? Nah, whatever. That would be his opinion. Okay, so basically...
So what happened?
So
what happened? We need to know.
So, okay, I was talking to this guy, you know, I had met through, like a mutual friend, kind of.
Mm-hmm. In a romantic sense. Right? That's what talking means.
Yeah, but not really, because I had only been talking to him for like 2 days.
Okay.
So, you know, I really wouldn't consider it romantic. To him, it probably was. But to me, it was more of a like, hey, person that I don't know and have only talked to on Instagram. How are you?
Uh-huh.
You know, whatever. So I texted some of my friends and I'm like, okay, well, should I just like give him my phone number, like to text? And they were like, I mean, it's 2017. Go ahead, shawty, do your thing.
Okay.
So, you know, we get to talking on the telephone. He seems pretty cool. You know, we're like texting back and forth. He seems cool. He's like, you know, hey, would you be open to FaceTiming? And anybody who knows me knows I am the FaceTime queen.
This is true.
I'm going to FaceTime you all day long if you let me.
This is true.
So, I'm like, you know, no skin off my back. That's cool. We could do that. So we get on FaceTime, and within the first 10 minutes, he has compared K. Michelle to Michelle Obama, as if K. Michelle is worth any less than Michelle Obama is. I mean, like, I don't even know how we got on that topic. Uh-huh. I think he was just saying, like, you know,
he's looking for Michelle Obama.
He's looking for a Michelle
Obama. But most women are like K. Michelle.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it was, I see how you are on Instagram, which you're an idiot.
My issue is, what makes you worthy of a Michelle Obama? These niggas be asking for a lot.
Come on.
But don't bring nothing to the damn table. You know what? You could bring a seat. Sit your dumb ass down.
And have a whole seat.
Because you don't bring anything to... Hell, you the napkin.
You
nobody asked you here. You asking for so much. And you ugly. You don't have a job. That LSAT book is still sitting on the table. You bring nothing to the table.
I'm not even going to tell you where he worked. You
at the Piggly Wiggly?
It wasn't the Piggly Wiggly. It was close, though. Okay?
Look.
And so my friend pointed out to me. She was like, you know what? He probably saw your post about you going to medical school.
And started projecting.
You sure did. But yeah, so he told me that most black women aspire to be baby mamas. And I was like, I'm confused.
Okay, but with that same logic, wouldn't that mean most black men aspire to be baby daddies and you're a black man? So what?
But he pretty much absolved black men in their role.
Because it's not their fault.
At all. It don't take two to make a baby. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever. That was his thinking. I'm guessing it had to be because most black women aspire to be, you know, and so I had to tell him, like, you know, that's a very harsh critique coming from a black man.
Has he met most black women? He's only met black women in North Nashville, and they won't talk to him. So
probably
about 80% of those women won't talk to him. So where did he get this from?
And I mean, you have to be pretty low to be not talked to in North Nashville. Anyways, if you visit North Nashville, you will understand what I'm talking about. But you know, I just could not believe what I was hearing. Mm-hmm. And you know, he was basically looking at me, and you know, I'm like a light skinned person,
mm-hmm.
and he was boxing me off because maybe I speak a certain kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he also said, you know, I have worked very hard to,
as a store clerk, I know you have,
you know, to, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to pronounce my words and to be able to speak the way that I speak and to present myself to the world. And
well,
I'm
come
like,
on then, bare minimum.
Oh, have you? All right, okay. I started to call him Logan, but...
Not Logan!
I surely did.
I just...
But yeah, understand. And I'm just like, you can't... One thing that you can't do is separate me or separate any other mm-hmm. black woman from the black woman experience. That's what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
He was trying to say there was something better about me than
other, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's how men, like, well, some men mm-hmm. try to, like, compliment girls. Like, oh, you're not like these other girls.
Exactly. Like, and I'm like, but you're confused because I'm exactly like
right.
them. They are me and I am she. And right. together we are we. Okay?
Right.
Like,
right.
Don't do that.
But you know what that is? That's like not knowing who you are.
Exactly.
He's the type of person, he'd benefit from going to a HBCU.
Yeah.
You don't know who you are. Like, mm-hmm. you need to understand that, like, when you are interacting with these so-called white women, these precious white women you love so much, you're a nigga.
Yeah.
You are still a nigga. Like, they don't care.
They don't care.
So, my thing is...
You're not African. You are a nigga.
Okay.
And living in Tennessee, I mean, I would expect you to understand that.
But that's an identity
yeah.
issue. And trying to other yourself. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, have you heard of the term,
yeah.
like, my anti-blackness?
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, a lot of microaggressions in a lot of the things mm-hmm. that he said. And I don't know if it's just projection. I don't know if it's to appeal to, well, I'm the good minority.
Yeah.
I'm the good
and,
black. You
and
know,
maybe,
like, I'm not like them.
And maybe because, you know... He's a part of the African culture where that is very, especially
right.
in America, where that's very
right.
prevalent.
Right.
You know, maybe he was thinking like, oh, these are the things you need to say to impress
right.
a woman. And that's just not so for me, at least, because...
That's because you know yourself. I
you
think
know?
That it, that would work on people who don't know themselves and don't have a sense of self.
Right.
It, that young man sounds
who
really,
don't have an appreciation for every part of them.
Right, but my parents are Nigerian, and no guy would get away saying something like that to me. It just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
It just would not work.
Yeah, so I had to hit him with the, it was nice talking to you, but I won't be continuing.
You had to call it an early night, even though it was morning time.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I was just kind of bad. Like, whose nerve do you have?
Look. Yeah. It's so funny because I had a similar conversation with Tade this week. Mm-hmm. She's telling me about a young man who was saying a lot of problematic things. Mm-hmm. He was saying, well, you know, the reason why I don't date black girls is because in high school they weren't checking for me. And they were looking for the drug dealers and the shot callers. And I said, oh, no, black girls weren't checking for you because you were lame.
You're lame.
That's why.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, he also was trying to say, like, white girls, they'll hold you down. He said, they'll hold you down. When you're doing bad, they're there for you. Black women don't hold you down. And I was like, there's a lot of guys living with their mama saying that black women don't hold them down. And I'm just confused. Because if we're using the same train of thought, why are you still at home with your mom? I thought you said black women don't hold you down. Where's your daddy at? You're only known by a street name.
And this is the thing. Why do you expect me to stick around for your bad behavior?
Bria, speak into the mic.
What do you believe is so special about yourself that it obligates me to stay while you fuck around with other women?
And that's what he was saying, that white girls are like they understand when you step out.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, if that's what you're looking for, you go right ahead.
They're like, oh, they're more understanding when you step out. They understand a man has his needs. I was like, you sound like a little boy.
Okay.
And I had to tell her, and I was just
what
like, when people say stuff like that, you need to call them out to the dance floor. That's not okay. That's not okay. It's not. Like, you can't, not. You're not the other. You're a black girl. Like, yeah. And that stuff he's saying is problematic, and he's probably getting away with saying stuff like that because he hasn't been challenged.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
I take pleasure in challenging ideals like that.
And
I really do. I really do. I'll be the one. That's fine. You don't have to like me.
I just want to do a thesis on, like, ugly men and their confidence. Because it is through the roof. Through the roof! Can't pull a black girl, you can't pull a white girl, you can't pull anybody because you're ugly. That's why. That's the issue. You're lame and you're ugly, so you're invisible. That's your problem.
Yeah, and you know, like, when you don't have actual things to be confident in. And
like access?
Yeah, you know.
Like, and money?
Yeah, you know, just education, anything like that. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to, like, build your own confidence, and sometimes they build it too high.
Way too high.
And it's just like, but it's not built on anything.
Look, I'm not here for it. I had to let her know. I was like, I think it's hard because I don't think we want to police our friends.
Right.
It's because they're our friends and they're allowed to have different opinions. But I'm like, you should take offense to that, though. That's offensive.
Yeah.
You know?
For someone to think that it's okay
to say. And
it's not.
Especially with the person being grown, you should know better. Exactly. And you should know you can't make generalizations like that. Because the very reason why we're having an issue with police in this country is because of generalizations.
Exactly.
But they don't hear me, though.
So, I guess on the opposite spectrum of, you know, of this whole conversation, what do you think about the truth that black women hold down black men at all costs?
I think they hold them down too much.
Mm-hmm.
I think they do it too much. Mm-hmm. I think black men have a history of just shitting on black women. So I know, like, all that stuff about, oh, black women are this and that. That's bullshit. Without black women, there would be no Black Lives Matter movement. So I know it's bullshit. I think a lot of times, a lot of these men are speaking from a place of hurt.
Yeah.
A lot of these men are speaking from a place of dysfunction with their own mothers and a lot of the women in their lives.
Yeah.
So I know it's bullshit. And I know it's something else going on there that it's easy to just pin on black women. And it's also easy to take the side of the oppressor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to elevate yourself or whatever it is you have to do to deal with your own insecurities.
Yeah.
So I think black women do too much.
I feel like...
I got a brother at home who's an aspiring DJ, and my mom is doing squat diddly about it. You know? So, I know for a fact black women hold black men down.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird because at the same time, you know, when we're talking about Tade and, you know, that guy, I feel
I really do feel that way. Like, you can't obligate me. You know, I don't have any obligation to stay 3 years.
Nobody does, though.
But then at the same time, I have this, like, feeling on the inside of me that won't let me, like, mm-hmm. just completely abandon. You know what I'm saying? I think about, like, my two brothers and how...
Yeah, but that's different.
You know, I would do it. Even, like, my guy friends. You know, I love them.
Again, that's different.
How so?
You don't have a romantic... I think when you have a romantic connection with somebody and they're asking you to hold them down...
Yeah.
When I hear hold them down, I think prison. I'm thinking things that are like...
Tommy Lee's trying to do?
Yeah! Like, I'm thinking things that are like are compromising to my freedom.
Yeah.
So, okay. I don't know.
Okay.
I remember when I was talking to Kalonji, he was like, oh, I just want to let you know I don't do long distance. I was like, you don't have to worry about that. You are nowhere in my plans. Don't ever for one second think that I give...
Exactly.
A damn about you, and I'm not gonna I'm gonna hold myself down. If you're worthy enough.
That's like the guy that I was talking to for 3 days. He was basically telling me, you know, that like projecting me in that spot that he had of you know, of his wife, and then at the same time telling me, you need to learn how to be respectful. You need to learn how to say things with tact and class. And I'm like, excuse the hell out of me. How about I don't learn how to do anything, we end this right now?
I need to know who he was talking to.
I don't know.
Because it couldn't be me.
I don't know. I was looking around like, is there somebody else on this FaceTime call that I don't know about?
It couldn't be me.
Because who are you to tell me who I can, you know, what I can say and who I can say it to and how I can say it. And I'm not a disrespectful person.
I know you're not.
You know?
I am.
Yeah, we know that. But,
So I think that's it. When I think hold down, I'm thinking about something serious, but support.
Yeah.
I don't even like the term hold down. Mm-hmm. I like support. Mm-hmm. I will support you.
And there's nothing wrong with supporting a man.
You know, if you lose your job, something happens, I will support you. And I would do for you what I would think that you would do for me.
Right.
You know?
I agree. And I would probably do more. That's just the kind of person that I am. I mean, this is not like you are out here disrespecting me.
Exactly. And that's what they're talking about most of the time. Yeah. They're talking about, oh, well, let a man be a man. That's what you can't be my man.
Can't be my man and do all that. Absolutely.
And then I tell the girl, clear out a couple drawers. He's staying over there with you.
Exactly.
Be out by 12.
Please. Out by 5. That's how they do it at Hampton.
I know. Out by 5.
Out by 5.
Incredible.
But yeah. Black women, let me just say this to you and then we'll go ahead and wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with having standards for yourself and for your relationship. And there's nothing wrong with you holding your man to a standard.
Girl.
Because why are you talking to someone, you know, who you believe is beneath you anyway?
Look.
Okay?
There's nothing wrong with having
standards. Set your standards. Live by them. Internalize them.
Right? Okay, so are we done? Else? No, that's it. I said my piece. I outdid myself. My throat is just...
Yeah.
I was kind of hollering.
Yes.
Kinda. I was so passionate. Such conviction.
I thought it was a really good conversation.
It was. Okay. Well.
Hey, audience members.
Do you have any questions you would like us to answer?
I wish you could see these faces.
Look at Mackenzie. Mackenzie's so beautiful.
Anything
Look at the
all.
Hair. She's just, ugh. Dominique, I know you've been writing your questions down. I know you're eager. Just one, please.
Just one?
Just one.
Okay, so I have a question. So I'm sure you all saw the BBC interview where, like, the dad came and was interviewing and, like, had the kids run in.
Yeah.
And, you know, the woman was pulling the kids out. So I thought it was interesting. A lot of people, like, they did a follow-up. That was his wife, you know, pulling the kids away. And a lot of people were saying they thought she was the help because she wasn't white. She's Asian. They live in, I think, Korea.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering correctly.
I think that's right. Yeah.
And I know it was interesting just to see, you know, automatically assuming white men only marry white women. Mm-hmm. So, like, what are you kind of going back to, you know, the black man, white woman thing?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is, like, the reasoning behind we only assume white men go for white women? And, like, we never think that they can be attracted to or go for anyone of any other race.
Bria, can you repeat the question just in case the listeners couldn't hear?
Absolutely. Okay. So, our one of our two audience members mm-hmm. was referencing the BBC interview where there was like this white man who was giving an interview.
That interview was so damn funny.
And his kids cackled. And his wife came in to try to pull the kids out of the room, but the wife was Asian. Mm-hmm. And so there was just some follow-up from that where, you know, everyone was commenting and saying, you know, and thinking that the Asian woman who was actually his wife was the help. And she was just wanting to know.
Why did we automatically assume she was the help and not the wife? Yeah. Like, why did we not assume? Why do we assume that white men only marry?
I mean, I think it's just, it's the age old history of America. Right.
I didn't think that. I thought that little girl came in the room dancing, ready to fuck shit up. She came in, she's like, I don't care what you're doing, Dad, but I'm here to fuck shit up. And that's all I saw.
That's how it should be.
And then her mama, auntie, whoever, dragged her out of there with one baby already on one hand and was ready to drag her. I thought it was amazing.
I'm not going to lie, though. I thought she was the help, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really think too deeply.
But I think it's the way that we're conditioned. I mean, that's the way that we're conditioned. Like, I thought she was the help. Then, I mean, do I have a problem with her being the one? Absolutely not. My bad. I didn't know. I'm sorry.
Right.
But, you know, I think that's
just kind of how we're conditioned.
That's how we're conditioned. You know, white men marry white women, and anything else you do a double take for.
That's real.
And I think it's just the history of the world.
That's real.
You know,
I guess I would have to agree with that. I thought the video was hilarious.
And then, I mean, I guess that's
right.
That's really
right. Okay. Well, thank you for your question. We're going to move right along to the blacklist. Now, the black business that I want to feature is Estée Beauty. Mm-hmm. I bought a rose clay face soap from them, and it's amazing. It smells really good. I've been using it on my skin to kind of like help with the... I have like a lot of dark spots because I have a really bad picking problem, right? So I've been using it on that, and I've kind of been seeing them fade, so I like it a lot. And I also ordered the strawberry extract face mask that smells amazing that I've been using. They're black business, and they bring you luxury handmade products formulated to enhance the already beautiful you. Again, that's Estée Beauty, and you can go to their website at www.estéebeauty.com.
Awesome.
Yep.
So for my blacklist shout out for the week, I want to shout out one of my fave Instagram stores, pardonmyfro.com.
Okay.
Don't know if you've ever been there before. But it's this really talented artist, and she basically started out making prints, like really beautiful prints of black women. And so now she does like furniture pieces, bags. She's got a wedding planner out.
Oh, wow.
She does shower curtains, and I can't wait to get mine for my new apartment.
Oh, hey.
Tons of t-shirts, mugs, sweatshirts. And I mean, it's just, you know, like a black woman empowerment type deal.
I like that.
Make sure you go and check it out because it's really hard to describe her work. It's just so beautiful and so just like fun, chic, hip, trendy.
Can you only find this on Instagram or is there a website?
She has a website, pardonmyfro.com.
Okay.
But her Instagram is just pardonmyfro. You can go through and look at some of her products. And she also is just, she just rolled out a new kids line. It's called Lily. And so she makes t-shirts and, you know, all the different materials for kids. And it's like, instead of the grown women silhouette, it's little kids with like big curly afro. So, you know, if you want to get your little girl something that she can look at that looks just like her, definitely check out Pardon My Fro. Love that lady.
I love that. Okay. So, Bria, do you have a quote for us?
Oh, you knows it.
Yeah. I was hoping you didn't, but.
I do though. Just give me 1 second. Because my Google Drive messed up. Okay. So I don't have a quote smash this week. I just have a quote. But it's still good.
Okay.
Okay. So this week it comes from Brian Tracy. And I picked this quote because I have had, like, I don't even know if beyond zero is the word, but like, my motivation for school and for anything besides sleeping, watching TV, and going to work is like -10,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought this might help us all. It says, your ability to discipline yourself, to set clear goals, and then work towards them every day will do more to guarantee your success than any other single factor. And that's by Brian Tracy, who's a motivational public speaker and self-development author.
Okay.
So, you know, discipline yourself, get up, do what you got to do. It's going to, bit by bit, it's going to get you to where you need to go in the end.
I like that.
All right.
Well, I guess that wraps up our fourth episode. You can follow us on social media. My Instagram is at King Naya. Naya's with two Y's. And Bria?
Mine is at Bria Laurel. B-R-E-I-A. Don't forget my vowels. L-A. So U-R-E-L-L-E. Bria Laurel. On Instagram. Or you can send letters to 22centspodcast@gmail.com. We definitely want to hear from you. We know that you have plenty to say after this episode.
Right. All right, so I guess that's it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Holla. Thank you.